Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Annie Gibson.
And tonight we are joined by two women. Yes, there's four women in the whole podcast tonight. This is all starting so well. We have Sarah Waygood and Jo Granger. Welcome to the podcast.
Are you turning into Oprah Winfrey?
Jo Granger!
That was good. I like that.
Don't crush my dreams.
Never.
Okay, so welcome. So, Sarah Waygood, you're a physiotherapist.
I am
a mother of two.
Yes.
But we've had a fanny physio on the podcast before, but your fannies, is that not your speciality?
Fannies is not my thang. Sputum is my thang.
Oh, sputum.
I'm a chest physio and I specialise in treating people with chronic lung disease.
Oh. Hilarious. Yes.
It's going to be a wacky one, listeners. It really is. Jo, what do you do?
I am a science teacher in Central London.
What's your like top tip for like managing? Frankly, let's say we're in a Lord of the Flies scenario. Like I imagine most secondary schools are. What's your top tip?
Treat them like toddlers.
Really?
My behaviour management's got way better since having a toddler.
So put them in front of Sarah and Duck.
Just treat them like they're a big toddler, and just say, "Now, come on, now, come on."
So you've developed a very nice patronising tone, Jo.
Yeah. And they get so fed up of it, they just stop doing it.
I feel a bit told off. Just sitting next to you, I like it.
You're going to behave tonight, Ellie.
like a child, I do like rules. Yeah. I do like boundaries. I'm enjoying myself.
Well, welcome, ladies. And look, the other reason we've got you on tonight, because we've got Sarah's going to reveal something very exciting. Exciting?
Yeah.
That's patronising.
No.
We'll talk about it later anyway. But we've got you on because we want to talk about mums groups, which we haven't really touched on. So we thought we'd kick off with a bit of mums group chat.
Snappy, I like that.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I have my own television show.
Mums group chat!
It's going to be brilliant. Because that's how you two met, isn't it? You met through a mums group. Was it NCT?
Yeah, NCT.
Now, for the international listeners, NCT is, ladies,
National Childbirth Trust.
That's right, correct.
So you met at the NCT, or as my friend Nadine, who I met at NCT, calls it the Lie Factory.
Expensive way to buy your way to some decent friends.
Yeah. Mm. Basically, it's just a dating agency for middle-class women, basically,
who have something filling their uterus.
Exactly, yeah, who are about to cough it out. So the point is, when you two met each other, did you like each other?
Looking round the room, if you'd have said to me that Jo and I would have ended up being really best friends, and I'm her littlest's godmother and Jo is my littlest's godmother.
I'll start on the cry. That's really nice.
I was going to say, what, are you racist? Don't like brunettes.
Yeah, I can't stand brunettes. No, I probably would have said, no, I'm probably more like to be friends with that girl or that girl. And it didn't happen right away.
No.
But we have ended up living really, really close to each other, and our children are good friends. And as I said, you know, we're godparents to each other's kids. And Jo's like my wife.
Mm.
Don't cry. She's awesome. genuinely.
It must be so nice to have a wife that you really love.
Yeah, exactly. Genuinely couldn't.
What is it like to have friends like that?
Yeah. she's bloody awesome.
Just respect each other.
Yeah, but I'd also appreciate that we were quite lucky because I have heard about friends who've had NCT groups and they've just been awful to each other and ended up, you know, kind of leaving because somebody has done or said something that's just really not on.
NCT has a sort of reputation for being a bit hand-waving, a bit, and not really very medical science-y or anything. So in our group, there's me, a science teacher, another science teacher who I happen to work with, another science teacher who's the husband of somebody else that I worked with, my husband, who at the time was a trainee doctor, Sarah, who's a physio. This poor woman had a workout, but fortunately, she's like, well...
You sound like a big bunch of smarty pants.
Really she's are. Like, really I'm going to go and be a midwife next year. It's like, oh, we got the science NCT person. Mm-hmm. So it must have been the most science-y NCT weekend ever.
But was there like one home birth person? You were like, you're signing your own death warrant.
No, home birth.
Oh,
no,
wow.
We're all pretty normal hospital. Well, not normal. We're not normal.
No,
not normal. You know what I mean?
And I remember being, I don't want a catheter, therefore I don't want an epidural, but I wouldn't write it off.
I said the same. Nothing goes up that hole.
I loved having a catheter.
What? Just get to stay in bed.
So I had a cesarean like 3 months ago and I had my first ever catheter and it was brilliant. Yeah, you'd have to get out of bed to go for a pee. But I can't feel it when it's in there.
Oh, see, no. I just like you put like a McDonald's straw up the front.
No, it just stays there. I had catheter both times.
Really?
I didn't even feel that. I was...
No, most of the time they're putting it in, you're very numb.
Because the reason why they're putting it in is you've got no sensation to be able to know when you need a wee.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I mean, it's not like anal sex at all.
No. Wrong hole.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I should say this, but I didn't actually let them take it out. So... yeah.
A few months' time, when you're recovering from your first major hangover after having Joe, you'll be really grateful for that.
Exactly, yeah. What was yours like, Helen? Was it...
we had a really good group, but... Yeah, I've got a couple of really good friends from it, and some I don't really want to see again.
Oh. Let's hope they're listening now. Trying to work out, is it me? Is it me?
Oh,
but then, you can't work out who it is. It is you.
Yeah. they were really sweet. But it was the second group. There was a second group which I did in London in Dulwich, and there were ladies with nannies and very big houses. And then I hosted a meeting at my house, right? And the Dulwich mum came in and said, oh, you know what, I'd love a small lounge room like this because, you know, it'd be so much easier to clean. You know, mine's just so big and all that stuff. Oh, get the fuck out of my house.
So here's my idea. Let's cut out the middleman. There should be like a Tinder or a Grindr service for mums.
There is.
Is there?
There are now starting to come up mums dating websites.
Really?
Because we're both on the SW19 Mums Facebook page, and somebody on there has started it up her own business, so you can find like-minded mums. But the one I'd seen advertised, it was like, so that you've got a similar social background. And I think the joy of something like that is that you meet people you wouldn't otherwise meet.
Mm. But I'm imagining like an actual app where you can like swipe left or right, and you can put like, you know, interested in, you know, home birth, going to the pub, and you know, not having enough nappies or whatever.
and just
swipe. I think that would be all right. So Helen, I hear you've got some tips for breaking the ice at a mum's group.
I have now. Throughout recording many podcasts, I've come up with a few excellent games in my time, Ellie.
You have.
I have.
A few.
Just a few.
Out of 40-odd episodes, you've come up with a few excellent games.
Excellent games. So one of my favourite was Hands or Tits.
Oh, I did like that one.
I did like Hands or Tits.
I can't remember how you play it now.
Okay, so you close your eyes, everybody. Close your eyes. And Kes is, if I'm tapping my hands or tapping my tits. Ready? Close your eyes.
Which one of us was hands and which one of us was tits?
Oh, they were both hands.
No!
Incorrect!
I saw Ellie's nipple!
Not for the first time.
Oh, no. Oh my god.
As my mother said the other day, my goodness, they're like clothes pegs. Yes, I am breastfeeding for the second time. Thank you, Mum. Anyone needs a car starting, I'll be here.
The other one I've got is called Annual Sex.
Okay.
And which you have to confess, I was going to say confess the last time you had sex, but maybe that's just a bit too much information, is it? That's right. Anyway, there's just some suggestions for the NCT and other antenatal providers are available.
Are they?
NHS. Oh. National Childbirth Thorn, where you just go along and slap your tits for a few hours with other women. Everyone comes out good friends.
That's
very
right.
Very nice. Well, that's enough mum's group chat, I think.
Yeah.
Let's move on to, cervical cancer awareness. That's a very smooth segue.
There's no smooth way of getting into that.
There's
right?
no smooth Johnny way, is there? No. Let's face it. So, Sarah, why are we talking about cervical cancer awareness?
Because at the grand old age of 35, next Friday, I'm having a hysterectomy.
Oh! That's ouch. Why Posh her legs. Friend Jo has made her a chocolate uterus.
Yes.
Yeah, you obviously... I don't know how to describe this. It's a Thornton's chocolate heart, and it says bye-bye at the top in icing, and then, Jo, you've drawn in white chocolate the uterus there. That's very nice. And the touch I really like is you've used a couple of pale pink mini eggs for the ovaries.
I suppose if we're going to be really surgically correct, they're staying. Those bad boys are just going to float around in there.
Yeah. Oh, so the ovaries stay?
For my particular procedure, yes. So I won't have early menopause.
Right. Oh, so you're not doing the HRT?
No, I don't have to do the HRT.
Wow.
Unless, when he's in there, he sees something wrong with them, in which case he said he might take them out. But the plan is to leave those babies.
Yeah.
So the hormones still keep getting released and I don't turn into some...
Mary Berry.
Loony.
No, you don't grow a beard and want to kill everybody. There we go.
Yeah. Well, that sounds... kind of fun. That's not the beard bit, but the being able to punch people in the face and say, oh, well, it's because I have my ovaries out.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're floating around in there is kind
just weird.
Yeah. Now, I'm
so literally floating around.
Yeah.
They're not attached to anything.
Now, there's a diaphragm in the way, so they're never going to get any higher than your rib cage. But they're
it's
just
like a little game of Pac-Man in your lower intestines.
Yeah.
But they're not going to pop out in the middle of Christmas lunch.
I really hope not.
Oh,
so why are you having a hysterectomy?
So, here's the long and pathetic story. In 2008, I went for my just my routine cervical screening. I hate the word smear. That's rank. Smear.
We say a lot worse words on this podcast.
Well, I know, but smear. And a couple of days later, I had a phone call from the GP, which you don't often get, saying, oh, there was an abnormal cell found on your smear. And I ended up a couple of days after that at the colposcopy clinic at my local hospital, which, weirdly, about 3 years prior to that, I'd been in a charity fashion show at the hospital, because I was working there, to raise money for this colposcope. And little did I know, a few years later, that would be looking firmly up my fanny. So I end up at the colposcopy clinic and they take some biopsies and stuff. And I had the worst kind of abnormal cells that you can find. And I had this procedure then where they basically take out a massive chunk of your cervix. Anyway... cut to December and I go back for my... I was having screenings every 6 months and I go back for my 6 month screening and the sister phones me up and I'm reaching for my diary because she's phoned before and said, oh, the sample's been taken and it couldn't be processed because they didn't put your name on right or whatever. I'm reaching my diary.
That's reassuring.
Yeah.
No, that's always nice.
I'm reaching for my diary to book in just to have it redone because that's happened before. And she said, oh, look, these abnormal cells are back and you need to come in and speak to your consultant, who is amazing. He's actually the man who did Joe's C-section as well. And he's wonderful. And it was a bit of a shock. And as a healthcare professional for many, many years, I'm very good at reading doctors' writing, particularly upside down. And I could see he's flicking through his notes and I could see upside down off a hysterectomy. And I just burst into tears and I was like, oh, my God. And then, love him, my lovely consultant just said, you're not going to have any more kids, are you? Because we'd already had this conversation. And I was like, no. And he goes, well, you kind of don't need it then. We're going to take it out.
Wow.
He's brilliant. He is so matter of fact. It just makes you feel like
that's a good surgeon,
so
though, if it's very...
Yeah,
you know,
he's really good. So basically, he's going to take out my cervix, which is where the root of the problem is. And it's that standard procedure. So if you've had these abnormal cells and they come back... then they take it out and they take out what's attached to the cervix, and I guess it's just in case those cells have spread, and then that goes off to the pathology lab and hopefully it's still contained in the cervix and I just get monitored and I don't need any more treatment. But still, I consider myself very lucky because it was all caught in the screening process, and I consider myself very lucky because I don't have cancer and I've had my babies and I wasn't planning on having any more babies. But still, it's, you know, it's a big abdominal surgery.
It's a big deal, yeah. Do you feel emotional about it? Do you feel any sense of...
I mean, I have had little moments when I've had little wobbles and people saying, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? I'm like, fine, fine, fine. You know, I've treated women who have had these surgeries and I know how brilliant they are and how quickly they recover. But, you know, that womb, let's get deep. It was where my babies grew and brought me together with some amazing people, you know, me and the other NCT girls. We do have an awesome bunch of friends and we were brought together by virtue of us having full uteruses. And now that's going. Mm. But it has to be done because chances are I would go on to develop cervical cancer, which of course I want to avoid. And while he's in there, he's going to sort out my prolapse.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to have a designer vagina by the end of it all.
Very nice.
And I also did a very rough calculation and I figured out that I will save approximately £1,000 on feminine hygiene products.
So you're not going to menstruate?
There'll be nothing from which to menstruate.
What? Okay. So...
Would you like science teaching?
Yeah, so do you still have your vagina?
Yes, and then it'll just
they're
be like...
They're not going to sew it up.
Okay.
You know
a femidom? Femidom? No. Can you picture this?
To be fair, you might not have had femidom in Australia. Femidom was the female condom that they used. Right.
Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
In this shape.
Yes, yes.
There's the opening.
Yeah.
And then at the end there's a... So that my vagina will just look like that.
Right, okay.
We can still do sexy time.
Right.
The stork can't come anymore.
Your husband can come, but not... Great, look. So that's next week. And then how long does it take to sort of heal and get
better?
Well,
everything I've read says 6 weeks. Mm. 6 weeks seems like a really long time. It's going to be a case of kind of see what happens, I think.
Mm.
I can't see myself sitting on my bum watching Jeremy Carr for more than 14 days, right?
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, so we've got everything sorted. And for people who've said to me, how are you feeling? I'm really in control of the stuff that I can have control of. And everything else is in the hands of the lovely Nick Wales. And I have no doubt that despite my surgery falling on Friday the 13th, I'm sure it will all be fine. And I'm really lucky because I have worked in hospitals for a long time. Mm. So I know how things run. I know how to speak to surgeons and doctors and nurses and get what I want from them. And I feel very empowered about the whole thing. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to the drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You're getting liquid morphine.
I would love to wake up with my own patient-controlled analgesia. That would be lovely. I have left instructions with a couple of my friends, Joe included, because I used to work on the intensive care unit at Chelsea and Westminster. So if I do end up there, unlikely, but if I do, there's a list of people who I don't want to touch me. And somebody needs to shave my armpits every other day because there is nothing worse than going and treating a patient in intensive care unit with big old hairy pits.
I tell you what, Helen and I, we're very grateful to you for coming on the podcast. We're going to go one better. We'll pop in, give you a vajazzle. Just to cheer it up after what it's been
that's
through.
That's like a little smiley face on it. Frown upside down.
That would be amazing.
You can write your name in it so there's no confusion.
That's
in case
right.
There's any further surgeries.
And do you know what I'll do? I won't shave around pits. I'll near them. Because I like a depilation cream, I do. I do. It's very quick.
Well, any form of, you know, body hair pampering is most welcome on an intensive care unit.
Absolutely.
A wax is booked.
Yep.
Because although I'm sure my consultant would actually give monkeys, personally, I like to feel like, you know, everyone's aware that I've made an effort.
Oh, right. So you've got a very well-presented fanny for the surgery.
Right now, no, not so much.
Yeah.
But by Friday the 13th, everything will be...
Ground force. Yeah, let's just say that.
Yeah. Neat hedges.
Roll in the chainsaw.
Come on, perhaps. Tommy. Yeah, I know, but have you seen, what's that programme, that sitcom that you told me to watch with Sharon Horgan?
Catastrophe.
Yeah. Catastrophe.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So the first episode of Catastrophe, this new sitcom is basically what happened to me, and I don't know if this is what happened to you. The GP rang me up and said, you've got to come to the surgery. we found some abnormal cells, your smear test was not routine, you've got to come in. And so you go in, and this is exactly how it is in catastrophe as well. They sit you down, they say, you haven't got cancer, but you've got precancerous cells.
Yeah, which might as well be the same thing, right?
Well, exactly. And this whole episode is Sharon Horgan going, but they did use the word cancer. And the bloke's like, but it's precancer. And she's like, it's cancer, though. Yeah. He did say cancer. And that's exactly how I felt. Like, I felt really upset by it. And even though I knew it was just like, I had a colonoscopy, they stuck a laser up there. It was very exciting. I like to think of it as a kind of lightsaber for twats. And so it was all fine.
Did you have that done under local anaesthetic?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. They did like a needle. And then I remember what was really weird is I remember lying back and they're like readying the laser.
I'm coming towards your family.
Yeah. So you know the bit where Princess Leia and the needle?
Yeah, it's like that.
And I remember lying down, and there's like there was a painting on the ceiling. Someone had nailed a painting of like a field to the ceiling. And I was like,
count me down.
Yeah, this is not really taking.
That's what I need right now. Constable.
There we go. But for a few weeks, I sort of went round sort of thinking, I might have cancer, I'm kind of feeling like I had cancer.
Couldn't wait to get it out of you. Yeah, totally.
It just gives you the tingles, doesn't it? You just think, oh God, it stops you in your tracks, doesn't it?
Mm. And I felt guilty for being upset about it because I felt like, but it's not real cancer. If I'm upset in front of people, they're going to think I'm just like fishing for sympathy and there's nothing wrong with me. Like, do you have that, or am I just mental?
No, I don't know that I have that, but I don't think you're mental. Not about this, anyway. I think it's difficult for me because I've worked in healthcare, and I'm very, very pragmatic about these things. And it's very much, right, well, this is the diagnosis, this has to be done, I'm just going to go for it. And I do tell people, I've got these abnormal cells, and it's very likely it would go on to be cancer, so but I don't think you should have any guilt about that. And yes, people should feel a little bit sorry for you, because do you know what, it's piss poor luck that it's happened. I've looked at the statistics and why it happens to certain women and not others, and actually most people are walking around with this HPV virus, which is the virus that is sexually transmitted, but not because you're promiscuous or
speak for yourself.
Oh God.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But it is. It's HPV, which 4 out of 5 humans are harboring at any one time. And most people...
Well, I've slept with 4 out of 5 humans, so... I got it from.
I don't know how much I'm allowed to admit to, because I'm not quite sure who's going to be listening to this. But
well, it's on the internet.
But yeah, 4 out of 5 human beings have HPV at any one time in their life. That's boys and girls, men and women. But most people, just fight it off and just clear it like any other virus. But you and I, who are the minority, which actually I think makes us really special.
Special, a little bit special. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Very special.
We've got different vaginas.
Yeah. We don't fight it off just like any other virus, like a cold virus, and it starts to mutate those cells that are changing in the cervix. So we end up having these, like you say, these kind of hot wires chunking out great big bits of our lady bits.
That's it.
Or laser twat. It's a bit like Laser Quest, I imagine. But, it's the new Minecraft.
I had a general anaesthetic, though, for mine. I was.
Did you? You were out for the count.
Oh, yeah. But you've got insider knowledge. You're like, no, don't give me that. Give me the good stuff.
Yeah.
Put it in the vein. Come on.
They were not coming near me.
Yeah. But it did teach me a lesson, because I had, it was in my late 20s or 30s. But I had left it a bit late. I think I'd left it maybe 6 months to a year late to have a smear before I should, and it really instilled in me the lesson of don't dick about. Yeah, just make the appointment. And a friend of mine was on, she's only 23, I think, and she was on Facebook about 6 months ago going, oh, should I really book a smear? And I just don't really want one. It's really uncomfortable. And me and everybody else over 35 was like, book it now! Book it now! Stop! Book it now! I'll book it for you. I'll take you there myself. And is that the message you're trying to instill?
Yeah, go for it. I did read somewhere this idea that cervical screening should be done in some lovely kind of spa facility where you go and have perhaps a wax and a vajazzle, and while they're there they insert a speculum and do a little brushing, and then you go and have a glass of wine.
I think it's very what
with free childcare.
With free childcare. Because I think that's a lot of people's, not excuse, because it's not an excuse. If you've got kids to look after, you've got kids to look after.
Here's an idea. Build a little smear facility in the middle of Gambardo.
Genius.
Those who've not heard of Gambardo's, it's a soft play centre here in London. There's one in Beckenham, there's one in Chelsea that's slightly more shishy. And
Absolutely. Yeah. What I did when I was in my 20s is me and my friends would do it together, that we'd book back-to-back appointments. So we'd all go in.
Like a hen party.
Yeah, like that. I felt so sorry for the doctor because they said, so what are you in for? I'm like, a pap smear. And then the next girl would be like, a pap smear. And so she had to just do a whole lot of pap smears in a row, which, you know, it's her job. But that's quite a good thing because it's a sort of a group activity, really.
And then you could all go out and reward yourselves.
Yes, they should do that. What's that?
Or even have a glass of wine beforehand.
Yes. There's nothing says you can't. It's not like driving.
There's no such thing as drunk smearing.
God, that's how things get up there in the first place, is a few glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, after the podcast today, come on, guys, I've got a corkscrew back there. A couple of old lolly sticks. Let's go for it.
That's right.
Do you know, can buy a view your own cervix kit.
Why?
I've no idea why. And it comes with your own speculum and mirror and a torchlight, so you can actually view your own cervix.
If you've got nothing else to do, get Netflix.
Amazon Prime is free.
Marvellous.
Really good.
Really good. So have you got any advice for anyone who is going through a hysterectomy or has been told they're going to have one, or what have you sort of learnt through the process?
I mean, like I said, I've been really lucky because I don't need this bit of anatomy anymore. And I think it would be very different if I was sitting here having actually in my life planned another to use it again. I think that would be really different. So I'm not sure I've got any advice for anybody who's in that situation. But you do have to look after yourself. But I do remember when I first got diagnosed with abnormal cells, my husband and I literally just got engaged like that weekend. And we'd always talked about, you know, having a family. And they had said, if you had this procedure, there was a slight, it's like a double the chance of having a miscarriage. So there's something like a 7% chance of miscarriage if you're pregnant and you've had no fiddling around with your cervix. And if you have had fiddling around with your cervix, it's like a 14% chance of miscarriage. And I remember having a conversation with my husband saying, perhaps we ought to leave the surgery, make the babies, do the babies, and then have the surgery afterwards. And then we just went, no, that's ridiculous. You know, like you say, these are precancerous cells, and there was a good chance they were going to turn into something else, and it just needed to be done, and we got around and doing it. And thank goodness everything's worked out okay, and I can be very pragmatic about it. But I suppose my advice to anybody who's been diagnosed with abnormal cells or is going through anything like this is you do have to look after yourself, because there are people, partners, other family members, friends who would rather have you around than you sacrifice yourself, if you like, for having children. But it's very easy for me to say that because I've got two amazing kids.
Mm. I remember, yeah, that was a big... because when I was diagnosed with the precancerous cells, I hadn't had any kids. Mm. So it was all quite scary, yeah, like you're saying. I remember going to the GP. My mum took me to the GP to have this sort of meeting. And I'd given up smoking, I think, like 6 months earlier or something. And she drove me home and I was saying, you know, mum, I can't believe it. It would just be so ironic if, you know, after having smoked for 10 years, I give up smoking and then I get cancer.
Mm. Mm.
And she just went, well, you should have smoked them with your gob like everybody else. And I just laughed and it was suddenly all right. It was all right. So I guess that would be my suggestion. Mums, try and have a laugh about it if it's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Mums do have this knack, don't they, of kind of just putting it all into perspective.
So are you going to give yourself a present? Like
several. Jo's already given me a bag of goodies, which is sitting in her car, yet to be opened.
Oh! So
my friends are, you know, rallying around. And then, yeah, I guess whatever I fancy, really. You know, looking cancer in the face and the fear of and saying up yours. Mm. And I'm going to buy myself a nice pair of shoes, a handbag. Yeah, because life is very short. Let's treat ourselves with wine.
And how's your husband? What's his sort of attitude been selfing?
He's worried about me. We were both lying awake the other night and he was like, are you worried about the surgery? I went, I wasn't. I'm thinking about it now. I know it's on his mind and it's obviously on mine, but we'll just we'll just go through it together and deal with every day at a time. I suppose we have to focus on our kids, making sure the children are looked after and that they're not worried. But I'm sure it will all be fine.
Sarah got in contact with us a couple of months ago to talk about this. And she also let us know about this fabulous charity called Joe's Trust. Joe's Trust did this campaign called Smear for Smear. And it got women to take selfies of them smearing lipstick on their face to raise awareness of going to have a smear. And it was a very successful campaign.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing an amazing job. And they're, like you say, a cervical cancer charity. But they also work with women who've had cervical... and women and their partners who've had cervical abnormalities, like Ellie and I.
Mm.
Because, yes, we haven't been diagnosed with cancer, but it still, like you say, raises all those kind of concerns.
Mm.
And they provide... A phone hotline and an email, ask the expert. And I spoke to this lovely, lovely lady called Maddie a couple of weeks ago, who kind of filled me in with all sorts of bits of information. And they're brilliant. So they do fundraising and they do raising awareness. I think the message is, when you're invited for your smear, don't delay, book it, go for it. And then, yes, come away and treat yourself to something pretty. Because cervical cancer is one of a few completely preventable cancers if the screening process works properly.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's completely preventable. If anybody listening has had abnormalities or a diagnosis of cervical cancer, then they can contact Joe's Trust and they're amazing.
Because there's no signs or anything, is there, for cervical cancer? Or is there anything that
Are signs for cervical cancer, but not for the abnormalities. But so any abnormal bleeding, so any bleeding in between periods, if it's not expected, pain, I think pain during sex as well.
Not just in your heart.
Not just in your heart. Or because your husband is crushing your chest. Or anywhere else because you're doing it on the carpet. Carpet burns on your knees. What else? Low back pain. Anything down below that doesn't feel quite right, take yourself off
again.
Take yourself off to your GP. One of the things I did want to just discuss was when I spoke to Maddie at Joe's Trust, who was amazing. I was talking about what advice do you give women who phone up and say, I'm worried about going for my smear, or I've been and I've had a bad experience. And we got talking about practice nurses in GPs and how often they do them. And she said they're actually working with practice nurses on kind of competency and stuff, but they do them a lot, so they should be they should know where they're going and what they're doing. And she, one of the things she was saying, if you're nervous, it's really important that you say, I'm worried about this and I've had a bad experience. That, excuse me, there are different size specula, speculums they can use, because all women are not the same shape and size.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be trying to get in a speculum that really is too big. It's like getting your size 8 feet into a size 4 pair of shoes.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm.
So you can request a smaller speculum. You can definitely let the practice nurse know that you're nervous. She said you can ask your GP to do it, but your GP may or may not be more experienced. And she said if you're really not happy about going to the GP, then one of the things that they sometimes recommend is that you go to like a sexual health clinic, where the staff there are really used to doing lots of looking ladies' vajayjays.
That's it.
And ask to do the screening there.
Mm.
And then perhaps they'll be a little bit more... Particularly if your practice nurse perhaps hasn't done a smear for a few weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how likely that is.
Mm.
But there are... if you're worried and you've had a bad experience, there's lots of things you can do to make your next experience more pleasant. Well, pleasant's not the word, is it? Because it's not going to be pleasant ever.
It's never going to be.
But I don't like... So they say, oh, you know, take your clothes off from the... tummy down.
Do you leave your socks on?
Yeah.
Socks on or off?
I leave the socks on.
Yeah. I always leave my socks on.
I had my socks on when I gave birth.
Oh,
did you? Yeah. Because it was all so quick at the end.
I had my socks on when I conceived.
Well, I had my coil done a couple of months ago, and she got the speculum and she went, oh, I think I caught something. And she literally caught a flap somewhere inside the uterus. Yeah. Like
what, like a trap door?
Like a little, gone around the wrong corner there. Because I don't know if you've put your hand.
Oh, Christ.
Come on. We're very relaxed on this podcast after 7 Chardonnays. But it's all bumpy. It's not just like a smooth shaft. There's all like muscular bits in there, isn't there?
Yep. It's like Wookiee Hole.
Yeah, there's lots of little
nooks and crannies.
Yeah,
Christ, your sound is like the Grand Canyon. Let's carry on. Oh,
okay. Well, I think we've done a lot of fanny.
We've
chat.
Revealed a lot. I feel like.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to get rid of my stockpile of feminine hygiene products. So I made you each a nice little headband.
Oh, wow. If I can begin, it's like an Alice band with a beautiful bow made out of a sanitary towel. That is exquisite.
Do you know what? You could wear this out, get caught short.
It's a panty liner Alice band. I love it.
I feel like Anna and Elsa.
Oh.
Wonderful. That's right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This is the most beautiful gift. That's lovely.
Okay, so... we all know and love Handbag Surprise.
You've got a new game for us.
I've got a new game for us called Behind the Sofa Gopher.
Helen and I are going to produce some things from underneath our sofas.
Yes.
And we want you to guess...
whose shit is whose?
Yes, that's right.
Whose shit is whose?
Now, what have we got here, ladies? Please describe for the listener.
Item number one.
It's one. Oh my goodness, is there anything in it? A Happy Meal box with a empty bag of Pom Bear.
It's a Happy Meal box containing an empty packet of Pom Bear crisps.
But I want to put the detail. Is that on the side of the inside of the thing is actually the lid of a barbecue dip. Nice. Look, it's the aroma of barbecue.
That really does it.
Yes.
That's today.
That must take you home.
That is fresh.
It does. It really is. It's like summertime in Australia.
What kind of person would have given their child a Happy Meal and Pom Bear crisps in the same day?
This is a parent with a toddler who also perhaps doesn't have very much time to make their toddler tea.
Yes.
And who always goes to McDonald's.
Yes, it's me.
Hooray. Now, what about these? We've got 4 items here. We've got, this is nice. This is a toe separator for manicure, but chewed. One end has been chewed.
Yeah.
You possibly by an animal.
No clue.
Slightly dorky.
We've got a whistle in the shape of a football. Maybe that belongs to Steve Hill.
Maybe it does. He did like my football pen I gave him at Christmas time.
An empty packet of Treboar soft mints. And
Baby Bell.
I thought it was a used condom. It's actually a mini Baby Bell skin. Of these 4 items, ladies, which belongs to whom? Is that
I think that's a bit pink and hearty.
Yeah.
To be
The nail yours, separator. You think that's a Helen Thorne item? Yeah.
Correct. That is my five. She got given this for her 6-year-old birthday.
Wow.
A toy separator, which my 3-year-old chews and then puts behind the couch.
It's quite a good teether.
Yeah, it is.
It's only Sophie nice Le Giraffe.
Yes.
But cheap.
Also makes it quite a nice knuckle duster if you don't want to go too hard.
The soccer whistle. There's a boy involved.
Uh huh. Let's not be sexist, Sarah. Come on, we're a ride-on podcast.
I'm just basing it on my daughter. She would not have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
House of Three Boys, Eddie Gibson.
No, incorrect. Oh. Treble Soft Mints. Okay, that's yours. and the final one, the mini Baby Bell wrapper.
Is this another part of Charlie's Tea?
No, this is, in fact, another Helen's Wars.
That was behind the sofa gopher.
I like that.
We'll put a bit more effort into it next time.
Yeah.
Well, dear listeners and dear guests, we have almost come to the end, haven't we, Ellie? But what are we going to do before we finish?
The same thing we always do, Helen. It's time for Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Correct.
Do you want to go first, H?
All right. So I want to talk about an incident that happened to me the other day. I was at Peckham Rye Park in South London, and me, my two kids all needed to go to the loo. We rushed in, we all had a wee, and then rushed out again. And then there was all these lot of well-dressed mums, and they were all giving me a bit of a look. And I thought, oh, you know, fuck off. And then I turned... around, and my son had his pants and his underpants around his ankles, and just his willy hanging out, forgotten to pull his trousers up after he'd done a wee. No wonder they were looking at me strangely. Sorry, Peck and Rye Park.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was good.
So my scummy roaring confession is I've just got back from Centre Parks. So that's not the confession. And I thought I'd packed enough nappies for Centre Parks for Charlie until it got to the last night when Pete went, "Where's the nappies?" So I ended up fashioning for my 3.5-year-old son a nappy out of nappies that belonged to my newborn son. So I got 2 size 1 nappies and just sort of strapped them round him like a sort of loincloth. Just to make one big nappy.
Did it work?
Yeah. And it worked.
Oh,
so
very good.
Yeah, I'm the Bear Grylls of nappies, basically, is what I'm saying.
Pampers would be proud.
Yeah, but I am not. So that's my confession. Joe, what's your confession?
Another toilet-related confession.
Who knew?
That in the space of half an hour this morning, we had both a poo incident on the sofa. Josh, after breakfast, taking his pyjamas off, covered in shreddies. I was just unloading the dishwasher, and Jemima in her, "Mummy, I think Josh has done a poo. I think he has done a poo. I have checked his nappy." Poo. I was like, "He'll be fine for a minute. Just be fine for a minute." As he clambered onto the sofa, and it all squidged out over the sofa.
Are we talking leather or fabric?
Fabric.
Oh.
So whisked him upstairs, took him in the shower. I was going for a shower anyway, so we had a shower together. Dried him off, blah, blah, blah. Put him down on the ground. The first thing he did, having been in the shower for half an hour, he ran into his sister's room, weed on a rug.
Oh,
and such dark
Joshua.
Yellow wee that Jemima
Joshua.
Said, "Mummy, I think it's poo. I think it's poo."
Oh.
But it wasn't. It was just wee. So my husband came home to one cushion seat cover on the drying line and the sheets and rug. And his first thing is, "What has happened?" Yes, it has been... That kind
a shitty day.
This afternoon, Joe and I went to our local park and we met there after nursery. And Emma and Jemima were playing nicely together. And Emma comes running over, "Mummy, mummy, mummy, I'm doing a poo." And I had to literally lift up her dress because she was wearing her pirate dress because it was her nursery's book day. Pull down her leggings, squat her on the grass, and she did a massive... log on.
As we like to say in Australia, she backed out a bum cigar.
One and a half bum cigars and then a little wee. Yeah.
Like Groucho Marx. It was sat there.
Seriously, this kid has been potty trained for a long time. And I'm looking at Joe as if to say, this is like a fucking message from the gods. This is your confession right here. Scummy mummies. Yes, I have never had to clean my kids' shit off a grass verge before. That was pretty crap.
Well, I think that's a beautiful note to end
on,
don't
you? It is. It's a picturesque, picturesque ending to this mum's group vagina cough episode.
Absolutely. And if you have enjoyed the episode, if you'd like to see us live, we are we're going to be appearing at the Election Night Cabaret at the Ivy House on the 7th of May. My dad's going to be emceeing, so anything could happen.
Right. So if you've liked the podcast, do subscribe on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at Scummy Mummies. We're at Facebook, Scummy Mummies Podcast. And do get in touch with scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
Joe, Sarah, you've been wonderful guests. Thank you so much. Thank you for our presence. Oh, I still can't get over.
I know.
Yeah,
this has been one of the loveliest nights.
Nobody's ever made me a hairband with sanitary towels before.
Please God, nobody ever will again.
And if people want to find out more about Joe's Trust, joestrust.org.uk.
That's right. Yeah.
And basically, have your smear. Is that the message?
That's right.
I think that's the take-home message, is do have your smear.
I'm going to have four tomorrow.
You are on a kill. Well, that's enough from us. I've been Helen Thorne. She's been Ellie Gibson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye. And I didn't do my hysterectomy song, which is, you know.
Oh, go on.
I was going to say, your history, hysterectomy, you're good to me, hysterectomy, your history.
Yeah, and I see now why you didn't
do it.
I promise you, Helen Thorne, yes. As I am being put under my general anaesthetic, I will sing that.
Hysterectomy.
And my lovely
consultant. No good to me.
Bloody love it.
Shakespeare's second most popular hit. That's the level of cultural reach.
Should I call
reach.
Joe's Trust and then I can do like a viral YouTube
Joe's
thing?
That could be their holding music.
Yeah.
Be Joe's nice.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.